Congregation, let's turn to the Word of God this morning, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we will read the entire chapter. Let us hear God's holy word. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had become to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." And Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So far, the reading of God's word, and the text for the sermon this morning is taken from these first 10 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, in which the Lord calls Samuel. Beloved congregation, have you ever been called by God? If you have sat under the preaching of the word of God, the faithful preaching of the Word of God, then you have been called by Him, at least externally. As the call of the gospel goes forth and as sinners everywhere are urged to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the calling, the external call of God. And if you have, by God's grace, responded to that call and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord has not only called you externally, but He has also called you internally. And that calling of the Lord is absolutely vital for each and every one of us. It is the first step, as we might say, in the order of salvation. Before God does anything else in the heart of the sinner, He calls him to faith and repentance in Christ. We have a beautiful illustration of the calling of God in the life of Samuel. Who was Samuel? Samuel was the son of Elkanah and his wife Hannah. We are introduced to them in the very beginning of this book in 1 Samuel chapter 1. There we are told that Elkanah had two wives. The one was Hannah, the other was Peninnah. And that Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And one day, while Elkanah and his wives were worshiping the Lord in the tabernacle of Shiloh, Hannah besought the Lord to give her a son. And she promised that if the Lord answered that prayer, that she would in turn dedicate her son to the Lord and His service. And as it turned out, the Lord heard Hannah, and He granted her request. He gave her a son, whom she named Samuel. And as soon as the child was weaned, Hannah made good on her promise, and she brought little Samuel to the tabernacle to serve the Lord. For the next few years, Samuel did just that. He served the Lord in the tabernacle under the watchful eye of Eli the high priest. And then one night something remarkable happened. Shortly after everyone had gone to bed, Samuel heard a voice. Samuel! Samuel! It was the voice of God. It was God calling Samuel. And that's what we want to reflect upon with the help of the Lord this morning. The theme for our sermon is Samuel called by God. And we'll consider first the urgent need for this call. Secondly, the surprising recipient of this call. And thirdly, the humble response to this call. The urgent need, the surprising recipient, and the humble response to this call of God. The events of our text, congregation, take place during a very dark time in the history of Israel. It was dark both politically and spiritually. Politically, the nation of Israel, God's covenant people, were very weak. The Philistines, who lived on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea to the west of Israel, were a constant threat. They made frequent raids inside the territory of Israel, and Israel was so weak that she was virtually unable to do anything about it. From time to time, the Lord, in His mercy, raised up judges, and these judges, at least temporarily, succeeded in repelling these attacks and restoring peace and security to Israel's borders, but whatever victories they scored were terribly short-lived. Israel was also very weak spiritually. The tabernacle of the Lord had been set up in Shiloh, and the people did go there, at least some of them, to offer their sacrifices. But they continued, for the most part, to worship idols. What is more, the priesthood was very corrupt. The priests, Hophni and Phinehas, stole meat that was given for the sacrifices, making men abhor the service of the Lord. They also had relations with the women who came to the tabernacle. And although their father Eli, the high priest, knew what was going on, he failed to put a stop to these abuses. But to make matters worse, we read in our text chapter in verse 1 that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Before the completion of the Holy Scriptures, the Lord regularly spoke to His people, usually through a prophet, but sometimes even directly. At times He appeared to them in the form of an angel or in the form of a theophany, a kind of visible representation of God. But up until the time of Samuel, the Lord hardly spoke to His people at all. Not through His prophets, not through an angel, not through a theophany. The Lord was silent. It was as though the Lord had turned His back on His people. Not completely. Our text says that the word of the Lord was rare. There was no widespread revelation. But the very fact that there was no widespread revelation, the very fact that the word of the Lord was rare in those days was a sign to Israel that God was angry with them because of their sin. Because of the sins of the priests, because of the sins of idolatry. And the Lord turned His back, at least it seemed as though the Lord turned His back on His people. And the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel is not much different than the spiritual condition in which we live today, isn't it? The Western world, which at one time in our history was at least outwardly familiar with the things of God, now knows these things no longer. We have, for the most part, as Western nations, gone our own way and done our own thing. We have given ourselves wholly up to the worship of idols. And the sad spiritual condition of our society is also, to some extent at least, reflected in the church. There is, it seems, so little true piety, so little true fear of the Lord in the church today. And what spiritual life there is, it seems to be a mile wide, but only an inch deep, if that at all. It seems indeed as though the Lord has turned His back on us as well. And the times of revival, those times in which the Lord moved mightily with His Word and Holy Spirit in His church and in our society, are now but a distant memory. And every child of God can experience something like this personally as well. The Bible teaches us, congregation, that the experience of God's children is not always characterized by happiness and joy. That ought to be the case. We have every reason for it to be the case, but it is not always the case. Many times the child of God must go through spiritual valleys, times of darkness, times in which he feels as though the Lord doesn't hear him. The Lord has turned His back on him. The psalmist speaks of this in Psalm 77. Asaph asks, will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Those words of Asaph spoken so long ago are still so true and real to the experience of a child of God today. It appears at times that the Lord has hid His face from us. And how we long to hear afresh the calling of God. How we long at times to hear His voice speaking to us again, as He did in times past. Well, sure enough, this is exactly what we find here in our text. It appeared as though the Lord had hid His face from His people, but not completely. He came and He spoke yet again. And to whom did He speak? He spoke to Samuel. That leads us to our second point. I said it was a dark time in Israel spiritually. And just as it appeared as though things could not get any darker, suddenly a ray of light appears. The Lord revealed Himself again to His people. And we read about that in verses 2 through 10. Of our text chapter, we read there that before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. God spoke. Before the light, before the lamp of God went out. Possible that reference of the lamp of God should be taken literally. If that's the case, then what we have here is simply a time reference. The writer is simply indicating that it was late at night. It was just before the lamps and the tabernacle were snuffed out for the evening. But it's also possible that these words can be taken metaphorically, that the lamp of God represents here God's revelation, God's speaking to His people. If that's the case, what the writer is doing here is he's signaling to us the fact that the revelation of God to His people had almost been completely lost. What was once a burning flame, a roaring fire, had now become just a little flickering flame, and it was just about to go out. And just before that flame was extinguished completely, suddenly the Lord comes. And He calls Samuel. Isn't that always the way the Lord works? Just when we think everything is hopeless and all is lost, and the Lord has forgotten about us completely, all of a sudden He comes. And He calls. He reveals Himself again. And that's what we find here in our text. The Lord comes to Samuel. And it was late at night. Children, you know what it's like when it's late at night and everybody's gone to bed. It's very, very quiet, isn't it? Such it was for Samuel. All was quiet in the tabernacle of the Lord. Everyone was fast asleep. And suddenly, Samuel was awakened by a voice. Samuel! Samuel! Did you hear it, children? Samuel! Samuel! Naturally, when Samuel heard this voice, he thought it was Eli, and he ran to Eli. And that was a logical deduction. You see, Eli by this time was very old. Our text tells us that his eyes had become so dim that he could not see. That also was perhaps meant metaphorically.
Eli
could not see physically, but he could also no longer see spiritually. For the Lord had withdrawn from him as well. But Samuel, hearing this voice, thinking that Eli needed some help, he ran to him to see what he could do for him. He ran to Eli, we read in verse 5, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." You'll notice, children, do you notice that Samuel ran to Eli? You don't always do that, do you, when your parents call you for supper or to come to bed or to put away your toys? You pretend as though you don't hear mom or dad and you keep on playing, or you get distracted. But Samuel, when he heard the voice of Eli, he ran to him. And he woke him up. "Here I am, for you called me." Now, Eli, of course, did not know what Samuel was talking about. "I did not call you," he said. "Go and lie down again." And Samuel did. But a little while later, Samuel heard the same voice. "Samuel! Samuel!" And for the second time, Samuel ran in and went to present himself to Eli. "Here I am," he said, "for you called me." But again, Eli assured him that he did not call him and told him once more to go back to bed. And then at this point, our text informs us in verse 7 that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. That does not mean that Samuel was not converted. Every indication that we have from the text shows that he was. In chapter 2, verse 26, we read that Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with man. Samuel knew the Lord already from the time that he was a little child. But he had never yet experienced the Lord speaking to him. He had never yet experienced God revealing himself to him. This was new to him. Which probably explains why he was convinced that the one who was calling him was Eli. But whatever the case, Samuel goes to lie down again, and a few minutes later, again, the same thing happens. The voice calls again, "Samuel! Samuel!" And again, Samuel went to Eli. But by this time, Eli realized what was happening. Eli had many faults. He had many shortcomings and many weaknesses. He had almost lost whatever spiritual insight the Lord had given to him. But he still had enough insight to realize that the one who was calling Samuel must be the Lord. And how humiliating that must have been for Eli. For Eli, after all, was the high priest. And he was much older than Samuel. And so if God had anything to say to his people, that he should say it through him rather than this young boy. Especially since the message that God was about to communicate concerned Eli and his sons and their future. But Eli knew that he had fallen out of favor with God, and it was his own fault. He had become weak. He didn't stand up to his sons the way that he should have. And God sent a man of God in the previous chapter in order to rebuke Eli for his sins and to warn him that the time was coming when God would come in judgment. And Eli was aware of all of these things, and so understanding that it must be the Lord who was calling Samuel, he accepted the slight gracefully. And he even advised Samuel what he should say. In verse 9 we read Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And so Samuel went off to bed again. Now, what is significant about this congregation is that the Lord called Samuel. And we learn here that no one is too young to be called by the Lord. We do not know how old Samuel was when the Lord called him, but he was probably no more than 5 to 10 years of age. Just a little boy. And yet the Lord looked down in favor upon him. Above all the other people who were on the face of the earth, God looked down in favor upon this little boy. And he had dealings with him. In fact, he passed by Eli, his high priest, and his sons, the priests, in order to have dealings with Samuel. And congregation, the Lord is still pleased to have dealings with children today. Still today, the Lord calls children. Some he calls to be his servants, as he did in the case of Samuel. I have known cases, I have read of cases, perhaps you know them too, when the Lord came down in a mighty way, a powerful way, an extraordinary way, in the life of young boys, and called them to the ministry of the Word. So we need to be careful, congregation, not to dismiss that. Oh, we shouldn't jump all over a young boy that says he wants to become a minister. That wouldn't be the right thing to do either. But the right thing to do would be just to simply ponder it and allow the Lord to have His way with him. Yes, sometimes the Lord calls ministers of the gospel in their childhood. But he calls all children to himself. He invites all children to himself. How does he do this? How does the Lord call? Well, obviously not with an audible voice. The Lord doesn't work that way anymore. We now have the completed scriptures. Whatever God needs to say, wants to say, He has already said, ultimately in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the Lord still calls. How does He call? How does He call children? How does He call all of us? Well, He does this in several ways. He does this, first of all, through providence. When we are laid low with an injury, a sickness, or a disease, then the Lord is calling us. When we suffer a financial setback, or when we are blessed financially, then the Lord is calling us. When we suddenly lose a loved one unexpectedly, the Lord is calling us. When we're made to undergo some severe testing or trial, then the Lord is calling us. He's calling us through providence. Through the events and the circumstances of our life, these things don't happen by chance. All things come from His fatherly hand, as we confess in Lord's Day 10 of our Heidelberg Catechism. And so whatever happens in our life, it is a calling of the Lord. The question is, do we hear it? The Lord calls us especially through His Word, and particularly through the preaching of His Word, through the mouth of His servants, the Lord calls His children, His covenant children. He calls them to faith. He calls them to repentance. He calls them to conversion. He calls them to holiness. He calls them to service. He calls them to take a certain stand, to make a certain decision. God is calling through His Word. Do we hear Him? The Lord also calls through His sacraments. He calls us certainly in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, the invitation goes out to the entire congregation, "This do in remembrance of me." That is in the form of a command. And that means that every member of God's covenant congregation is required to come to the table of the Lord and to remember His death till He comes. Does that mean that every member of the congregation should be at the table of the Lord? No. That all depends on their spiritual condition before the Lord. Only God's children may come to the table of the Lord. But the obligation rests on all. And therefore no one should feel comfortable not coming to the table of the Lord. And every time that invitation goes out, it should create within us a tension that on the one hand, I am required by God to come to His table. And on the other hand, I know that my heart is not right with Him. And if that is our condition, that we need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to make our heart right with Him. Rather than sit in our pew every time the Lord's Supper is held and we don't obey His summons to come. But the Lord also calls us in the sacrament of baptism. How does He do this? Well, He first certainly calls those who are baptized. In baptism, God calls us to Himself. Now, of course, our young children, when they are baptized, they do not understand that. They do not even understand that there is a God. They're not even aware of their own existence. And yet, already in those first few weeks of their life, the Lord comes to them and He calls them to Himself. He attaches His name to their name. He adopts them as His covenant child. And He calls them to turn from sin, to seek the Lord, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved. And He calls them also to walk in a new and holy life to the glory of God. Did you hear the Lord calling you this morning, congregation, as you witness the sacrament of holy baptism administered to these two children? He called the children. But He's calling all of us. And He's saying, "Do you see that water? Do you see how it points to the blood of my Son? You need that blood. You cannot do without that blood. Oh, come to my Son. Believe on His name. And He shall sprinkle you with His blood and wash away all of your sins, that you may stand before God as though you had never sinned." That's God's call. In holy baptism. Do we hear it? Have we heard it this morning? Yes, the Lord still calls. He calls in providence. He calls in His Word. He calls in the sacraments. And the question is, how have we responded to that call? Well, how does Samuel respond? That brings us to our third point. We read in our text that after mistakenly thinking for the third time that Eli had called him, Samuel once again went down to lie down in his bed. And a while later, he heard the same voice again. Samuel! Samuel! Notice that our text says that God stood and called. That suggests that unlike the previous three times that God called Samuel, now this voice proceeded from an actual figure or a shape. Perhaps Samuel couldn't even make out exactly what it was, but it seemed to be standing. God appeared to Samuel. Not only did he speak to him, but he also appeared to him, perhaps so as to assure him that it was not Eli who was calling him, but it was God himself. And when Samuel heard the call of the Lord yet again, he did not run to Eli anymore. But he stayed where he was, and he said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Just as Eli had commanded him, so Samuel did. Samuel responded to the Lord. The Lord called, and Samuel replied. And he replied immediately. He didn't think about whether he should reply or not. He did not, as I said already, go back to Eli. He certainly did not ignore this call. He replied to it, and he replied to it immediately. And what a lesson there is for us here as well. Congregation, how many times has the Lord not called us? In providence, in His Word, in the sacraments. Have we responded to Him? Many times we do not respond to it. Many times we come to church and we hear the preaching of the Word of God and we even witness the sacraments or something happens in our lives and we just go on with our life as though nothing ever happened. As though the Lord is not speaking to us at all. But that's not what Samuel did. He responded to the Lord. And he did it immediately. He didn't file it away. He didn't say, "Well, I'll respond to the Lord sometime when I'm older, perhaps. Maybe on my deathbed. First let me sow my wild oats and let me live it up. And then, oh, maybe then I'll get right with God. Then I'll hear the calling of the Lord." He didn't set down all kinds of excuses and make all kinds of conditions. He didn't say, "Well, I'll respond to the Lord after I have experienced more of my sin. Once I know my sin, then I'll come to the Lord. Once I shed a few more tears for my sin, then I'll come to the Lord. Once I am more holy, then I'll come to the Lord." No. He went as he was. He responded as he was. Immediately. What a lesson there is for us. This is why the Word of God says time and time again, "Harden not your heart. Today, today, today is the day of salvation." Why today? Why this emphasis on today? Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. Friend, you could die this very day and stand before the judgment seat of God and have to give an account of how you have responded to the many callings of the Lord throughout your lifetime. And what would you say to him when you stand before him? Oh, take instruction from Samuel. Respond to the Lord today. But secondly, we learn here that when God calls, we should respond in the right way. How did Samuel respond to the Lord? What did he say? He said, "Speak, for your servant hears." He said, "Lord, I am all ears. I'm putting away everything else that would prevent me from hearing what you have to say to me. I'm all ears. Speak to me, Lord. For I am your servant." What an expression of humility. Samuel understood his place before God. He understood his position before God, that before God he was nothing. He was not God's equal. He was nothing before God. There was nothing to commend him before God. And so he refers to himself as his lowly servant. Samuel understood how small he was before the Lord. Oh, congregation, do we understand that as well? You see, when we respond to the Lord, we must come to him with nothing. We must come to him as beggars who are nothing, who have nothing, as lowly servants who wait upon the will of the Lord. This is what the Lord teaches all of his children. When he calls them to himself, he shows them that they are nothing, but that he is everything. And he opens their ears that they may hear him call. And he works in their hearts such that they respond to that call and are willing to do whatever the Lord says. In that respect, Samuel points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't he? Like Samuel, the Lord Jesus also was called by God to be a prophet, not just a prophet, but the ultimate prophet of the Lord. He was called from all eternity. We sang just a few moments ago from Psalter 109. "Lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do your will, O God." These are the words of the pre-incarnate Christ. He heard the calling of his Father from all eternity. That calling to come and to assume human flesh and blood, to suffer and to die for the sins of his people, that they may live before him and glorify him to an everlasting eternity. And Christ responded to that call. How thankful we should be that he did. For because he did, the message may go forth also today, also from this pulpit, that whoever believes on him may have everlasting life. Christ responded to the call of God, and he did it joyfully. He did it gladly, even though he knew it would cost him his life. And we must do the same. When the Lord calls, let us respond. Let us hear. Let us do whatever he requires. Whether it is coming to him in faith and repentance for the first time or again, whether it is following him in some new line of service, whether it is God calling us to forsake sin, a particular sin in our life, and live to His glory also in that aspect. Whatever the Lord calls us to do, congregation, let us hear Him. And He calls again this morning. He calls in His Word. He calls in the sacrament. Do we hear Him? Listen. He is calling your name. Therefore, do not delay, but be quick and answer before it is too late. Say with Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." And the Lord will hear, and the Lord will answer, and the Lord will use you just as He used Samuel. To the glory of His name, the extension of His kingdom. Amen. Now lift up your hearts and receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.